So you have Joshua, basically, God is saying to him, be strong, be courageous, be bold. And you'll see that all through chapter 1, verse 7, verse 9, verse 18. And it also ends with 24 and verse 15. And he says, you got to be bold, you got to be strong. And chapter 24 and verse 15 says this, choose today whom you will serve. It came up when I was a quiz. And what did Joshua say? As for me and my household, Joshua was making a statement. He says, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Israel, you know the Lord. Okay? But this is what we're going to do as a family. This is what we have decided to do. What are you going to do? And they all said, no, we will also serve the Lord. It's interesting that the book of Joshua ends with a delightful past. It's wonderful. And if you ever look at Joshua 24, verses 29, and it says, after these things, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. Then look at verse 31. Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived Joshua and who had experienced everything the Lord has done for Israel. So as long as Joshua was alive, they served the Lord. And as long as the elders were alive, they served the Lord. It's interesting that it ends with that. But sadly though, when you look at the nation of Israel, they soon became a leaderless nation. From a human perspective, they were leaderless. But from a divine perspective, they had God as their leader. And you would ever, if you ever look at Judges chapter 1, turn in your Bibles to Judges 1 and verse 1. Don't have your Bibles, that's fine. You can ever look at in the screen. It says there, after the death of Joshua, the Israelites asked the Lord, who will be the first to go up and fight for us against the Canaanites? Notice they didn't go up to Moses. Moses is not around. They didn't go up to Joshua. Joshua is not around. They didn't go up to the elders. The elders were not around. They all died. And so the only person that they could turn to is the Lord. And they turned to the Lord in prayer and said, Lord, who will go for us? Who will go and fight the enemy? And that question should not even be asked. Why? Because they had disobeyed God's command in defeating the enemy and destroying the enemy. So the Canaanites were not supposed to be around. God said to them, said to the Israelites, you must wipe them out completely so that they will not infiltrate, they will not be part of the corruption that you are in now. And so there it is. It starts off after the death of Joshua. The Israelites asked the Lord, who will be the first to go up and fight for us against the Canaanites? What has happened to Israel? Well, Israel, it is simple. Israel forgot the promises of God. They failed to do what they promised. When Joshua said, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And they all repeated the same thing. Joshua, we're going to do the same thing. As for us and our households, we're going to serve the Lord. But that didn't last. They fell through the cracks. And they basically failed the Lord miserably. And the failure is based on pure disobedience to God. And what they did was they renounced Yahweh as their savior and claimed, listen to this, they claimed the Canaanite gods of Baal, Molech, Asherah. And they went from serving the living and true God to serving the false gods of other nations. And the result was dismal for Israel. They went from good to bad to worse. And the pattern that you will discover throughout the book of Judges is that Israel did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And then you will find the Lord sent heathen nations as instruments of judgment against Israel. In their sorry plight, they then cried out to God. Oh God, they cried out. Please, would you save us from this terrible, terrible, terrible mess that we are in? And you will notice that God had mercy. Even though God judged them by another nation, He still had mercy. He was still a God of mercy. And He rescued them. And he would send a judge to rescue them. And that's why it's called the period of the judges. So they had relative peace during the period of the judges. And then they would slip into the same pattern again. Every time a judge came, ruled, they will have peace, but they will fall back into disobedience, and again, they will be oppressed. You see, several factors have led to spiritual decline with Israel as a nation. The Lord had given them what He promised. He has given them land, He's given them rest, and He's given them victory over their enemies. You know, friends, it's great to be in a situation of comfort, isn't it? When everything is going well, when everything is running smoothly, it's wonderful to be in that situation. Israel knew what it is to be in a struggling position as slaves. And God has given them absolutely everything that they needed. But what happened was this: wealth and prosperity became a snare and a trap to their own commitment to the Lord. And the focus, the priorities then shifts from focusing on the Lord to focusing on their temporary riches and pleasures that they have been given. And they become mediocre in their worship. Their commitment to God lacked zeal and excitement that Joshua ended with. And they failed to drive out the enemy. Now, friends, what this is really is incomplete disobedience. Oh, sorry, it's incomplete obedience. So they obeyed to a certain level and certain degree, but they didn't go as far as what God had told them to do and to get rid of completely. Imagine refusing to get rid of those who proved to be a thorn in the flesh. And before they knew what hit them, they were intermarrying with the very enemy that God had asked them to get rid of. And this led to idolatry. And guess what happened after that? The moral compass of the nation had declined. And their lives were in a terrible, terrible situation. Their thinking became depraved. Have a look at Judges 17:6 with me. Judges 17:6 says, "In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit," or everyone did what they thought was right in their own eyes. This is how the book begins, and this is how the book ends. Have a look at 21:25, Judges 21:25. Again, Israel, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit in his own eyes. So 17:6 speaks about it, and you'll see it ends with 21:25. Now, friends, it's very, very sad to be in that situation when individuals and a nation do what they think is right in their own eyes. Britain was a nation that had prided itself on the gospel. And revival started in Britain. Outreach works and the gospel was moving in such a way that from Britain it spread throughout the rest of the world to America and every other continent. But you know, today Britain has become a most pagan nation in the world. America is in decline spiritually. Why? Because their eyes and their focus was taken off the Lord and the focus was placed on everything else. And so the exchange, it's going back to Romans 1 again, isn't it? They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. And this is not only becoming accepted as a norm in the world. Friends, I am shocked that it is becoming a norm in the church. And it is slowly becoming acceptable within the church. Where you find, even in the UK, and America is doing the same now, and South Africa is following suit, where they literally ordaining gay ministers. Isn't that a terrible, terrible place to be spiritually within the church of Jesus Christ? When the Bible is clear about the morality of a nation and the morality of an individual. And you can see how far our nation has declined spiritually. And my prayer is that we as a church should take cognizance of the fact that if we shift our focus from the Lord, who is the God Almighty, and it is through His Word that we are here today, that we are saved, that we are sitting here and not, it would have been great, you know, being out there and just having a braai and having our pleasures and doing whatever we wanted to do and getting excited and celebrating and you know, sending off those fireworks like everybody else is doing. It would have been great. But you are here. And you are here because you made a decision, you made a concerted effort to say that I want to end of the year in the Lord and begin the new year in the Lord. And I want to be faithful to the Lord. And I pray that that would be not just a New Year's resolution, but it would be something that you would continually remember, as God has said to the nation of Israel, remember the past, how I rescued you, and teach it to the present and the future. Because you are the present. And soon you will become the past. And your children will become the present. And they will need to teach it to the future generation. And so that cycle goes on. And if we don't carry this truth, and if we don't soak in the truth of the Word of God, we are going to end up, our own lives are going to be in spiritual decline. The church is going to be in spiritual decline. And everybody will do what is right in their own eyes. There will be no moral compass to guide us, to direct us, and to lead us. And we thank God that we do have a blueprint, and that is the Bible, the Word of God. That is why Paul said, get rid. You'll see, he wrote 13 letters. And he says, if you want to get rid of the enemy in your life, he's not talking about the Amalekites. He's not talking about the Canaanites. He's not talking about the Babylonians or whoever it is, the enemy. He's talking about the enemy of your soul. And the enemy of your soul is sin. And sin will infiltrate. And sin will come in all forms and in all ways. And it will come to try and rob you of the joy of the Lord. And you got to get rid. He says, get rid of all those things that lead you astray and put on which is good, righteousness, holiness, peace, and everything that the Bible teaches that is proper and right and good. And so we need to continually get rid of the enemy, and we must kill sin in our lives. Die to sin and live for Christ. That was Paul's motto. Paul's motto, before he could die, said, for me to live is Jesus Christ, and to die is gain. And friends, that's a win-win situation for a Christian. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And I had a wonderful opportunity this afternoon where we've got a call to visit a family, in fact, two families. And I took Indran with me. And we sat down and we began to, you know, share with this family or mother or widows shared with us, you know, the joy that they have in the Lord. And they want to come and visit us. I said, you're welcome to come and visit. The church is open for everyone. But the important thing is, where do you stand personally with the Lord? See, it's no use jumping from church to church. That's not going to help you. It's where do you stand spiritually? Do you have a testimony? Do you know what you believe in? Can you share this testimony? And can you share with others what God has done in your life? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And the Bible says, Judges, the book of Judges says, everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And I pray that you will learn from the experiences of the Israelite nation, and you will not do what you think is right in your own eyes, but you will do what you believe is right in the Lord's eyes. And the Word of God will guide you. And I pray that you will become more dedicated, more committed, and more in love with the Savior as we serve Him in 2018. And I want to pray with you now and then lead you into communion. We've got a few minutes. We'll do that and ask the Lord to help us. Let's pray. Let's bow before Him. Let's come before Him. And let's examine our own hearts. And perhaps tonight is a night for you to make a radical change in your own heart and life, and to be committed from now till the end when Jesus Christ comes to take you or you go to be with Him. Our Heavenly Father, our God, our Sovereign Savior, what an amazing story of rescue and redemption that we looked at in the book of Judges, just giving us an overview of how Israel as a nation slipped spiritually. Thank you that today Christians are in a much more privileged position, knowing that Jesus has come as our permanent rescuer and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes to see Jesus. What joy it gives us to know that you are the King who rules and reigns in our heart. Please help us to crucify sin, to die daily to the attractions and the intensity of false worship that we are surrounded with. Oh God, we may not have idols of stone, precious metal, or wood that we bow down to, but there is every danger in bowing to the gods that grip us as they lure us towards passion, greed, selfishness, conceitedness, and pride. Keep us truly humble, and may we never reject you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to govern our future. We pray and commit 2018 into your hands. And we know, Lord, that you hold the future. And we stand confident in knowing that with you, all things are possible and nothing ever moves you. So would you please guide our thinking and lead us into this new year? We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.